Cody.
Yes, James.
Merry Christmas.
What are you talking about?
Oh, no, it's not a Merry Christmas.
No,
at all.
DeMarcus is gone.
Oh, poor guy.
I was curious where you're going, and then I remembered. I was like, oh, that's sad.
Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you?
I'm good. I know my name. It's Cody. Are you
today?
Are you sure your name is James?
Like, no,
my
I'm
name
not.
Is James.
Listen, been tired all day long. This Red Bull.
I know
Bull's
you
me
got
through.
A Red Bull on your way over. Normally, you wait to get here to have one of my energy drinks.
No, it was in the fridge, man.
Get out of here.
Well, we just started
unloyal,
recording.
Unfaithful. Just kidding. Oh, man. But we have monthly recap.
Yeah, we do.
Steelers by the Lake news. To start us off, we will say we're going to go over the top countries as we always do for downloads. United States was number one.
That
Don't
is...
jump out of your seat. It's okay.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
The support's amazing.
It's phenomenal. Canada flying in there at number two. Thank you, Canada. We appreciate
to our
all
neighbors
you
up north.
Yes, and then number three is the one that you may have forgot about, but I'm going to remind you, Israel.
That's right, our friends over in Israel.
Our friends over there. That's wild. Still blows my mind.
Love it.
Thank you so much for the listens, the downloads, everything. James, go over the top states.
Top states, the first one's really going to surprise you. Pennsylvania came
Woo!
In number one. North Carolina, number two, barely edging out Ohio, who finished in at third. Fourth place held by Texas, who is normally up there. And then a tie for that last place between Florida and Indiana.
Wow. Okay. Listen, if you're listening from Florida or if you're listening from Indiana, you guys got to battle each other. I want one of you guys to be in the top three next month.
Yeah, man.
I want to see like crazy downloads. Share it with your other friends. I know you got friends in the state that are, you know, Steelers fans. If you don't, you got to convert them. Get on that.
Go look for the local Steelers bar. There's one or two in every state, I
it's
feel.
It's ridiculous.
There's probably a bunch of them in Florida, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
100%.
But, yeah, man, just tell a friend. Or just go back and download some old episodes and listen to what we were like at our very beginning stages.
If you listen, I've discussed this before in the podcast, but if you listen to the intro of the very first episode compared to how James intros now, it is hilarious the difference. He was like, hello, welcome to Steelers by the Lake.
Today we'll be reading an excerpt from.
It was ridiculous. But again, we can't thank you guys enough for the support. We are still waiting currently impatiently for any of you guys to reach out and tell us you're going to go to training camp. We want to meet some of y'all. I don't care if you're from Texas. I don't care if you're from Canada. I don't care if you're from Israel.
Let's
go. If you're coming to Heinz Field for one of the times they open up for training camp, let us know. We would love to meet with you, love to sit with you, love to chat with you, and love to just hear what you guys have to say about this upcoming season, or even last season if you want to relive that. At this point, I don't know.
The first 11 games, sure, I'll talk about that.
But we do have new likes.
Absolutely, yeah, another Instagram like. From Tinker Tezzy.
Thank you, Tinker.
Tezzy.
Yeah, Tinker
appreciate Tezzy. Appreciate it very much. I had some Browns fans tell me about how great the Browns are recently, and I had to really like reflect on last season a little bit, right?
Okay. I'm not ready for this, I can tell already, because
no.
You didn't tell me this before.
No, you're right, I didn't. But they're really, really confident right now, right? They're all up in their feelings, talking about how Kansas City, they gave the game away to Kansas City, and they should have beat them, and they'll definitely beat them this year. And I'm thinking back, and I'm like, didn't Pittsburgh really beat the snot out of them the first time? So I looked into it a little bit more, and yeah, I was remembering it correctly. It was 38-7.
Oof.
What changed between the first game and the playoff game? Because realistically, that game
in
between.
Did you already do the research for this, is what I'm asking?
I mean, to a degree.
Okay. I don't know if you had an answer for this.
Yeah. The rest of it's pretty easy to me. So the second matchup, we benched our starters and almost beat them with Mason Rudolph. So I don't think they should be too confident about that performance. And then in the playoffs, the Steelers gave the game away. Snapping the ball over Ben's head, 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
You don't win a game when you do that sort of thing. And it wasn't like the Browns were making ridiculously good plays.
It was
the Steelers were making very bad plays.
We said it when it happened.
Which was uncharacteristic of their season.
They were just insanely unprepared.
mean, I don't even know that it was unprepared as much as just everybody had their worst game of the season.
That's fair. I think part of it was from unpreparedness.
And injuries, too, yes, because you didn't have Bud Dupree anymore. You didn't have the offensive line was Devin thin Bush. At this point. Devin Bush was out. You just were starting to get too many injuries to the point where you're having a tough time putting a healthy team on the field.
I also think, and anyone who knows anything about sports, I think, could agree with me to this. You go through phases of mental highs and mental lows. I think Pittsburgh was at a mental low after going 11-0, losing, what was it, 4 of the last 5 or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. I think they were just at a mental low as well, and they came into it, I think, thinking they were going to take the win, and I don't think they were playing with their full effort at first. I really don't. I mean, yeah, James Conner didn't fall on the ball when he should have on the very first snap.
I think it was the second quarter before they really turned it on, and at that point it was 28-0 already.
Yeah.
That time you already turned the ball over 4 times.
Normally, in a normal game, you can do that and only be down 10-0, 14-0. It's still a ball game. That was just, I think...
It was too much.
The only thing that I will say about Cleveland is they did a phenomenal job of taking advantage of the momentum they gained.
They did.
That was it. I don't think they played.
But they didn't create those.
No.
They didn't create the turnovers.
No.
I mean, there was like one, I think, out of the 5 turnovers that they actually created with a really nice play. The rest of them were bouncing off a guy's hands or bouncing,
wasn't one a tip probably?
Yeah, there was a couple tips, I think. So just not necessarily elite play there. I think it's going to be real fun watching the Browns play the Chiefs this year because the Browns
fans are... Do they play the regular season?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And they're so confident. The Browns fans are so confident that they're going to beat up on Kansas City. And I'm like, do you realize that they have an offensive line now and they didn't then? And it's a really good one now?
I have a buddy, and I'll give him a little shout-out right now. His name is Ryan.
Yeah. Let's talk about Ryan.
I love Ryan.
Ryan's a good guy.
We don't have like the crazy deepest relationship or anything, but we went to college together and we're friends and did some projects and stuff and had class together, blah, blah, blah. But he's a diehard Browns fan.
Nothing wrong with that.
But the confidence that I see out of him, I love it. I love it for the fact that it's good. It's good for the environment of healthy rivalry.
Yeah.
Every single year, every single week, every single year he posts, you know, the predictions for the AFC North or whatever.
Yeah.
And every year Pittsburgh's like bottom two. Yeah. And I'm like, it's not going to happen that way, but keep trying. Every year Cleveland's like number one. He's like, this is the year they're going to do it. Which sooner or later, he's probably going to get it right. But it's just, I love to see like the stuff that he posts and it's just funny.
They gotta do it this year, though, man.
He gets some people heated because I think he joined some of the Steelers crews.
Oh, and then talk smack?
Yeah.
Those kind of heels are fun.
Yeah.
I think, though, Cleveland has to do it this year. If they don't do it this year, it's going to start falling apart.
Yeah. And especially with the Bengals slowly beginning to have a team again.
Because Cleveland enters salary cap hell in next offseason.
And I genuinely don't think that Cincinnati... The last time Cincinnati had a team as good as the team they currently have can be was back with Carson Palmer, Chad Johnson.
TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Yeah, Houshmandzadeh.
TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Houshmandzadeh. Who the heck was the, like, all the guys on defense that they had?
Oh, yeah, they had some players.
At one point they had, no, that was after that. They got Pac-Man Jones after that. But,
yeah, he was in the Vontaze Burfict years.
Yeah. Who am I thinking of? Who was the running back then? It was a decent guy. I can't remember his name. That's okay. It doesn't matter. It's the Bengals. But I'm just saying that they have, like, this team that they're slowly bringing up is actually going to be competitive.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. They got some weapons and a pretty dang good quarterback. If they can assemble an offensive line, I think the Bengals will be passing people up real quick here.
Keep an eye on Joe Burrow experiencing his first regular season loss, week 1.
Who do they play?
Or wait, no, not Joe Burrow.
I was going to say, we got Buffalo.
I'm also, my brain's not working. I'm also thinking, I forgot Joe Burrow was last year. I'm also thinking Trevor Young, or Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Trevor Lawrence has never lost a regular season game in it. It's from high school to college.
Oh, he's going to be in for a rude awakening.
I don't know why I thought of the Bengals. It just made me, whatever.
His only hope is that Tim Tebow sits on the sideline and prays through the whole game.
I mean,
that might work.
Prayer works, but that's beside the point.
If anybody can do it, it's Tebow.
That's true. It is Timmy the Tebow man. All right. So now that you threw me off with the Browns talk for a little bit, Let's dive into the Steelers news. We got some Chris Boswell news.
Yeah, man. First off, the Boz for president. Himself. Boz for president.
Oh yeah. It's funny because he's actually number he kicks threes.
Oh, Boz, all day.
Boz 3 president, Boz 4, I don't know, whatever. I was trying to think of something punny, but it didn't work.
That's all right. What does work is Boswell when he's kicking field goals, because 2019 to 2020, he was the most accurate field goal kicker on field goals. Not talking extra points, field goals in the entire NFL.
The threes are a breeze, my friend. The threes are a breeze.
I would say he's pretty much fully recovered from that.
The off year.
Yeah, that bad year. I mean, he missed some extra points the last couple of years.
So did but everybody.
You put him out there for three, man, holy cow. He's been deadly, and it's nice to have that. Pittsburgh did sign a backup for him this week. Kicker Sam Sloman, who has been on a couple rosters, was a seventh-round draft pick previously. And this is not really noteworthy other than the fact that you always carry two kickers going into the preseason.
Yep.
That way Boswell isn't kicking 100 balls a day and tired by the time the regular season comes around.
Yep. And so, with that being said, which is where the Merry Christmas came from earlier, that James decided to so happily throw in here this lovely July 5th, 2021. DeMarcus Christmas was released or let go due to an injury, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, so it's a waived / injured. If he clears the waiver wire and no one claims him, he will revert to Pittsburgh's injured reserve list, which means there is an injury of some sort there. I would assume this is nothing too major for DeMarcus Christmas, but it does basically put him on the outside looking in. Usually once this happens, guys don't make it back in time. So I would assume him to be injured just enough that he'll miss the preseason games and not someone that is expected to make the active roster. So you might as well just go ahead and slap him on the IR now.
Just go on the IR.
And there he goes.
He's stuck there.
That way you can bring Christmas around anytime you want.
Wow. My mom would love that.
Yeah, a lot of people would, man.
No, around here is just so much different. Christmas is just so much different around here with the snow.
Yeah.
It's wild. If you guys ever want to come make a snowman with us, let us know. We'll be down.
Snowmen by the lake.
Yeah. Yeah. Steelers by the lake making snowmen by the lake.
So, Derek Watt.
Tell me about him. Because I think he's been underutilized, but that's
yeah. So does Matt Canada. Apparently, good. Thank goodness.
Good. Let me say it again for the people in the back. Good.
Good. When he was at his previous team, he was used a lot in the passing game, put in motion a lot. The man's multi-talented. If you line him up as a fullback, put him in motion, he can go out there and block an outside linebacker, a safety, a middle linebacker. Give him assignments. The guy is good on the move. So it's a shame to see Pittsburgh not use him and incorporate him in their offense when he is fully capable of doing so. So I'm looking forward to seeing him a little bit in the passing game and even just as a blocker in the running game. He's not a bad blocker.
No, not at all. I mean, even if you look at the receiving stuff, you know, yards per catch, he averaged 20 his rookie year.
Woo!
Average 17 the year after, only 2 the year prior or previous to that, and then 10 the year before that. Again, not a lot of targets or catches, but they utilized him and made mismatches for other people. That was the point. The reason he has those 10 catches on his career, which may not seem like a lot, but the number of times that they were probably able to move him in motion or have him come out of the backfield, that just them knowing that he is capable of catching the ball to the backfield and that they used him for that a little bit, that got people to bite. That got people to move. That created space for other people, especially when you think of Allen, who's been in, you know, L.A. If you have to have somebody, if they're playing some kind of zone and a corner has to play a little bit more up because there's a flat route compared to going back, that keeps a little opening for the quick wide receiver, you know, deep or a little bit down the field throws. The things that we can do with Derek Watt. Again, last year, we talked about it before. He should have had 2 touchdowns last year, but Ben just didn't see him. And I think it was because Derek Watt was never in the game plan to actually get involved. He was going to run a route, yes, but he was never actually anywhere close to the primary target. He's probably the fifth or sixth read every time.
Yeah, yeah, he would have been the last option when he was on the field. I mean, Pittsburgh literally didn't give him the ball once last year. And it's the only time in his professional career that this has happened. Everybody's at least given them the ball a few times a year, a couple runs, a couple passes, whatever. And it's important that when a guy steps on the field, the other team realizes that he may be incorporated at some point. Yep. Doesn't necessarily need to be a crazy dangerous option, but it's kind of like when Pittsburgh goes heavy and brings out an extra offensive lineman. You don't fear the offensive lineman because he's going to block. You know, so when you bring your fullback out, but you don't actually ever hand him the ball or throw him the ball, that tells the offense that, hey, I don't even have to worry about this guy. Like the defense does not worry about where he goes.
And they need to. Because he's capable.
Should.
He is capable.
And honestly, it could catch a lot of people by surprise this year just because they didn't use him at all last year.
That was secretly their plan.
Maybe.
If he comes out and has 7 touchdowns and they say, yeah, it was our plan, I will believe him and I won't care. Got 7 touchdowns on the year.
I won't believe him, but I will care.
That's fair. That's fair. So moving on to the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Even though we're going to come back to the offensive to finish this. But defensive side of the ball, James Pierre. You've heard this name a lot. If you haven't, you either haven't been listening to us, which you should be, or you haven't just been keeping up with Pittsburgh news at all. James Pierre's been in the news a lot in the sense of he's shown up. He's doing the work. He's put in the work. He intercepted Ben, I believe it was Ben, twice.
Twice in one practice.
And now he's out there practicing one-on-one or in a group with Minka.
Yeah, working out with Minka Fitzpatrick.
Hello.
Which he did last offseason as well, which you have to think really helped him out with being prepared. Minka's one of those guys that you don't ever see winded. He doesn't ever come off the field, which you expect your safeties to never come off. But regardless, training with a highly skilled individual like that and a highly conditioned athlete who has what it takes to be an all-pro every year,
yep,
that's a smart thing to do, man. You get yourself around excellent people, and they can give you the pointers you need to get your game to that level as well. I know it's different safety versus corner, but as far as conditioning, that's what everything is right now.
Well, and listen, I view this very similarly to the whole thing that people talk about with the character of people. You are the combination of the 5 people you spend the most time with. I think that can take place even with, you know, the physicality of a sport like this where you learn things from these people. So I think you're the average player. Let me clarify. There's some physical genetics
and
other things that are involved.
Yeah.
But I think if he goes out and you could hang out with Minka Fitzpatrick, people in their prime, say you could go hang out with Minka Fitzpatrick, Troy Polamalu, Ed Reed, Brian Dawkins, Ronnie Lott, you know, any of these guys. And if you could hang out and learn from them, if that player wasn't a Pro Bowler every other or every single year, I would be shocked because it's just the things you learn from people. And I think that James Pierre has a work ethic that is slightly hidden under the fact that he's not, like, you don't see any crazy posts like you did with, James Harrison. He's not out there lifting massive pounds of weight. But James Pierre wants to get better and he wants to play.
Yeah.
And I want a guy like that on our team.
Absolutely. I love seeing this sort of thing, especially when he already made a jump from being an undrafted guy last year to jumping over top of Justin Lane in the depth chart, which is something to be said about leapfrogging a third round pick.
Yeah.
That's not an easy thing to do. That's somebody who's given every opportunity to succeed. So if you are somebody who really is on an uphill battle and you're able to do that, and then you continue to compound on it and say, hey, I'm still not where I want to be, maybe he can develop. Maybe he can be a starting corner.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool to see that, man.
I would take that in a heartbeat.
Because I feel like Pittsburgh's going to really have a lot of positions they need to address in next year's NFL draft again. And if they are able to develop James Pierre into a starting corner, that's one less thing you got to go after.
Yeah.
And that would be so nice.
Be very, very nice.
He's got the size, too. He's a big boy, like 6'2", 195, something like that.
Yeah.
That's what you want in your corners.
100%.
Yeah.
So James Pierre, it's basically, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say it's his job to lose because that's not correct. That phrase doesn't work in this situation. But like you said, he leapfrogged last year, Justin Lane. This year, with the loss of Steven Nelson.
And Mike Hilton.
And Mike Hilton. He's what, the number three guy right now, technically speaking?
Yeah, he's the number three guy in the room. Take out whether somebody is a nickel corner or an outside corner. He's the number three corner right now.
That's big.
I mean, he might not play on nickel downs if they decide to use a safety or whatever that scenario ends up being. But, yeah, that's a really important role, being the number three. Really important. And it's, if he does play, if they do decide to use Cameron Sutton in the slot, he would be starting in nickel, which you're in nickel more than you are any other defense.
Yeah.
So just like that, he's a starting corner.
That's crazy. Yeah. And if he can develop any kind of improvement, whether that be, you know, ball to hand coordination, or anything, he can improve.
Yeah. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. So other guys looking to improve off of last year.
Tell me.
There's a rumor went around about Kevin Dotson that was not very nice.
No, we saw that. It was not good at all, saying that he didn't do anything in the offseason. He got fat. He was lazy. Wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, the rumor was that the reason the Steelers brought Trey Turner in originally was because they were unhappy with what Kevin Dotson did in the offseason and preparing himself for this upcoming season. This is only one person that reported this. He has since doubled down and said he got it from a coach. Every other person that reports on the Steelers says the same thing. Kevin Dotson looks like he's in phenomenal shape. Kevin Dotson even posted a selfie where he looks like a basketball player. He's so ripped up, man.
Hold on. You're telling me that someone in the media lied?
I'm not saying that.
Sorry, just a little.
I'm saying he might have been bored. Joke.
Man, whatever.
Maybe.
Was it a rush to get a story out?
One too many glasses of wine while he was typing. I don't know.
Listen, conspiracy theorist here.
Yeah.
One of the coaches did tell him that because they don't like him and they wanted him to stop reporting on the team.
Could be.
You never know.
You want to make somebody look like a fool, tell them something that isn't true that you know everyone else will refute.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
It could be, man. Maybe it's as simple as this guy crossed the coach. And the coach was like, watch this. He said, I'm going to get him back.
That's good.
Because Kevin Dotson looks good, man.
Yeah. After last year with how well we saw him play, when we saw those, I was like, that doesn't make sense. Like, the kid hasn't gotten paid yet. Like, I'd understand money makes people act different. But the kid hasn't gotten paid yet. He just came off a decent year, and he had the heartbreak of losing in the first round of the playoffs. I was like, everything that I knew about this guy as a person, as a character from watching interviews, seeing highlights, all the stuff, the work ethic. I was like, this doesn't add up.
Yeah. And he
didn't.
He's kind of like, he's like a BJ Finney too, where this was his favorite team growing up.
Yeah.
Why in the world, once he gets the opportunity to get there and he had to work hard through a smaller college and get drafted later on, why in the world is he just going to take the summer off and not work out? Like, it didn't make sense from the beginning.
Nope.
He has since released enough evidence for us to say that the reports were false, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if anybody out there is in that Kevin Dotson slander, tell them to take that nonsense out of here.
Yeah. You heard it here first, maybe second or third. Doesn't matter. It
might be later than that. The rule, regardless.
The whole idea that he is out of shape is false.
It's ludicrous.
Not true. I don't know. You got anything else to describe that? Fake.
It's fake news for sure. Fake news for sure, man.
Oh. So don't worry about Kevin Dotson. He's coming prepared to play. So is Mr. Haskins. Don't worry, James. James isn't excited to see Dwayne Haskins play football.
Listen,
I'm excited.
I'm worried about his scenario is all.
Okay, explain that scenario, because when you explain that, I do understand that more.
Yeah.
I do.
So I feel like Dwayne Haskins obviously is in a better situation in Pittsburgh than he was in Washington. He doesn't have the high expectations right now. He's just battling to get a job on the team, not to be the starter, not to be the answer for the city, to bring the hopes back to the city or anything. Like, he literally just has to show enough to be a backup quarterback right now. But my concern for him is when he does play in these preseason games, which I expect him to play a lot, honestly, he's going to be playing behind our backup offensive line, which we have talked about how little depth there is this year in relation to previous years on that offensive line. If he's playing in the fourth quarter with those third and fourth string offensive linemen, man, he ain't going to have any time.
And that's true. And I don't know.
And we talk about, like, the running back play, the tight end play. Yeah. You start getting into fourth and fifth team guys on the tight end room. These are guys that they could be stocking shelves at Walmart in a couple weeks. Like,
oof. These guys have degrees. They could be doing more than that. Maybe they have degrees. I don't know. Maybe they
you don't know.
I don't know.
A lot of them quit early to go pro. And it's then, true. Yeah.
That is true. Well, here. You guys tell us. First off, reach out. Tell us if you're going to come to training camp. We want to know. Second off, reach out and tell us how you feel Dwayne Haskins is going to perform this year. Whether you think he's going to make the team and perform in the regular season or just preseason. Let us know how you think he's going to fare. And again, I think I'd be excited to see him. I wouldn't be shocked if Pittsburgh throws some of those guys in with the first round or the first team guys just to have them take a snap or two with them.
And I don't think there's any protecting first team offensive line guys this year because they need to play.
Yep.
And there isn't. You don't have the 30 plus year old veterans that need the games off to be healthy during the season. Everybody's young.
Yeah.
Trey Turner's the oldest one. That's a projected starter. Yeah, and he's 28.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be sitting him.
Nope, not at all. So again, we want to hear from you guys. We want your input. We want to know what you guys are thinking. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.